This November 4, 2015 work session of the Springfield Planning Commission to order. Tonight, we have one item on our agenda. This is Linda Pauley is going to talk with us about the draft Main Street Corridor Vision Plan. I think we met about a month or so ago. So this is an update leading to a public hearing in January, hopefully, right?
Yes.
So I'll turn it over to Linda.
I just realized I forgot my packet, but I don't think I need it, so we'll go. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you tonight again to say a few words. I'd like to just mention a couple of things before I turn it over to our consultant, Tom Litster, from OTAC. He's going to do the presentation and walk you through the vision. But I just want to say a couple words about why we're doing the visioning and why we're doing it now. We do have a work product for you to review tonight, and that is our draft Main Street Corridor Vision Plan, which is in your packet as, I think, attachment 2. But I just wanted to emphasize that the visioning process itself is the real work product for this project, I think, because I told the council last night, we did a work session with the council last night, I told them that they can think of what we've done as a really big stakeholder group. We've talked to over 500 people about the future of Main Street. A lot of community members have weighed in, they've shared their personal visions, and they've also tried to see themselves as part of a shared vision for Main Street. Through this process, we've learned that more and more people are caring about Main Street. We had a former counselor come to one of our sessions that we did, one of our workshops, Counselor Ballou, and she was just so surprised to see the number of people that had turned out to talk about Main Street, because when she was on the council, they didn't have a whole lot of discussion about it. So that's been pretty exciting. The next part is going to be, how can we get people to really love the place, love the places of Main Street, now that some attention and some light has been shed on that? How can we get people to invest in Main Street? And how can we encourage people to grow and create new businesses and new housing along Main Street? So how and where and what kinds of growth can happen in the Main Street corridor? The vision plan process has started to identify what some of those future changes might look like. The city's population from our 2010 census was just under 60,000, and we're projected to grow to 74,814 by the year 2030. Our land base in 2010 was a little bit under 16 square miles. So, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can fit more and more people and more jobs on the land that we already have in the UGB, in addition to whatever lands we end up expanding onto as we look at an amendment to our urban growth boundary. And we're looking to see, will new development help build the kinds of places that people are envisioning? As you recall, we did some of those visuals where we had the people draw their visions for Main Street, and then we had the artists put together, remember these little pictures. So I just wanted to remind you about those, because when we talked to people about what they wanted to see, really the kinds of things that they talked about were sharing the street, so more modes of transportation can have a safe passage to and through destinations in Main Street. So much conversation about safety, how Main Street connects to all these different neighborhoods in Springfield, how it's so important for all those neighborhoods along the street. And the other thing they talked about is what I call conviviality. We sometimes call it the small town feel that we're trying to preserve in Springfield as Springfield grows. So when people got together and talked about their visions, they were talking about people places and where they can meet with their neighbors and having neighborhood hubs where they can come into, you know, and in the public realm, there are places that facilitate that kind of conviviality. So at their core, people want to have those kinds of places to connect with one another. So how can future development along Main Street create those opportunities through the zoning and the mix of uses, through design standards for development, and through design of the public realm itself? The vision plan has some really good, in my opinion, positive steps that we can begin to take together as a community to make better, safer, more welcoming, more comfortable, and more livable places along Main Street as Springfield grows. So last night with the council, we got, I think, very strong, positive comments about the vision plan, and so Tom's going to provide some slides and get you talking more, and most of the time tonight we can spend hearing back from you. Okay?
Good.
Okay, so I'll go fairly quickly. There are only about 14 slides. This is very high level, but it's really intended to open the door for more conversation on your part, and we'll certainly answer any questions or join the conversation as appropriate. So let's start with the community outreach. I mean, I think that really was one of the products of this plan, which is how well the community outreach process went. We had contact with about 500 people in a multitude of ways. The big milestone pieces were community workshops that you see highlighted in green on that milestone, and then the last two green dots are our work sessions here last night with City Council, now here tonight with you, kind of a two-game set for us tonight, and then we'll be back and do that again in January. But all these other ways, from youth workshops to going out to stores and putting up displays and meeting with people and calling business owners and meeting on one-on-one, all of that was part of getting to 500 people and getting them engaged in the conversation. That's a pretty healthy number. You should really be proud of that. So we heard many, many things, but some kind of overall guiding sort of things that we heard, I kind of tried to capture here on this slide. I think the one I would maybe, of all of those, I would kind of call your attention to the one in the middle, which I think is an important piece of advice that we got, and one that I would certainly echo as your consultant back to you, is be sensible, but don't ever say never, because you just never know. So don't ever say never. And certainly the desire to have a more variety of businesses, and they recognize that you have a difficult situation in some ways with essentially a state highway. That's a hard thing to deal with in trying to bring that human scale to it that Linda mentioned, but that was a lot of what people were hoping to see in the future. So let's talk a little bit about the existing land use patterns. That's kind of where we started. I see some of you have that map out here in front of you. That's kind of what it is you see on that map. And those are not zoning designations. Those are just the kinds of uses that are there today in the study area. And it's really kind of what we call the jumble. And a jumble presents some challenges. Now, amongst all those businesses, don't want you to think for a minute that there aren't viable businesses. There are very viable businesses out there. That's really not the issue that the jumble alludes to. The jumble part alludes to the fact that while you have those, there aren't a lot of clusters of similar uses. So you don't have these sort of natural gravitational centers for neighborhoods, gravitational centers for shopping destinations for you to go to and make multiple stops out of one vehicle trip or one bike trip or one walking trip. So it sort of lacks that sort of organization. That's kind of what we mean about a jumble. In many ways, you would be better served if it had a little more organization, and finding that better organization over time is certainly one of the key elements of the vision and goals that we came up with. That's challenging for infill development when you're like that, because private investment tends to look for neighbors. They want to sort of be near like uses. They don't like to be next to something that doesn't feel like a very compatible use to them. That's kind of discouraging for them. It lowers their bottom line. It makes it harder to get it financed. It makes it less marketable to them. It makes it harder for them to charge achievable rents to make their performance work out. It's just a problem for private investment. It's challenging for bike and pedestrian mobility because it requires you to have so many different crossing points that if you have to cross the street on foot or you want to just turn off and turn back on in a car, because it's just sort of all over the place. I've got to sort of go here and then there, and I've got to cross here and I've got to cross there. Whereas more clustered uses would allow you to make fewer of those decisions and get to more places. So it's just safer, it's more appealing, it's more comfortable. It seems less discouraging if you're not in a vehicle. And even, frankly, it's difficult for people in vehicles. It poses some difficulties for them, too. So that leads to sort of these lack of strongly defined station areas. So if you do end up in partnership with LDD, investing in some kind of and promoting and encouraging some kind of enhanced transit system, in order to sort of recoup some of that investment, they're going to look for stations conservation areas, maybe a little bit of stationary development as is appropriate for the community context. And right now, without the, with this sort of disorganized pattern, those are sort of missing as clear logical places to do that. So you present some challenges, which is not to say there aren't viable uses there, because obviously there are. So the new vision, I'd say, if there was one that sort of overall vision that statements that came out, and we ended up having unique vision statements for each of these three segments, because it is 7 miles, and it's pretty hard to say sort of one thing describes 7 miles. That's a big corridor, you know? That's a lot of ground to cover and sort of capture it somehow. But I think that things that came out that were pretty clear to me, at least, I think, were that Main Street really is the heart of your community. And if you look at that little graph at the bottom, you can see that, in fact, it connects and fastens fastens a whole lot of neighborhoods to it and provides access to a lot of parks and schools. And those parks and schools and those neighborhoods and the people that live around them, they, Main Street is how they get to and from their home. It's not just some little narrow thing that belongs to ODOT and runs down the middle of nobody. That's all it is. It doesn't work that way. It really is the heart of the community. It provides all that connectivity. But I think what people wanted to see was some kind of new balance, a little more human scale, a new balance between the choices for transportation so that I could move around in other ways in a more balanced way, and a more and a more balance in sort of the land uses available. Can I have more destinations? Can I have more places I can walk to? Can I have a neighborhood cafe that I sort of recognize as being part of my neighborhood? So they want to change the balance, not eliminate the things that work well, just improve the balance. And I think the bottom line is, if I were to leave any single word of advice from me to you, is that, you know, making Main Street better will make all the neighborhoods better. And if you make all the neighborhoods better, that in turn will make Main Street better. I don't think you can separate them. I think they're intricately linked to one another's futures in many important ways. So, looking at the individual vision statements quickly, we had this one segment area that's the sort of, you know, that kind of couplet part of downtown, just east of downtown, and still inside the urban renewal district. It's really composed of two streets, Main Street and South Bay, which are very different. And it would not make sense to have the same sort of vision statement for both. So for Main Street, what people wanted is what you see at the bottom of, you know, the page. They wanted more places to live there, more places to shop, more places to walk around, and that sort of more mixed use. And I think the vision for both is a better mix of uses. In the one case of Main Street, it's about a mix of housing and retail and commercial uses. And in South A Street, it's more of a mix of employment uses and commercial uses. So it's about mixing uses a little bit better. Clearly in Main Street, people want, they like the idea of vertical mixed use. They would love to see something a little taller, a little more dense, more places to live, more like downtown. They want it to be pretty. They want a life after five environment, a pedestrian-oriented sort of context to go to. And thank you for reminding me, because I'm going to turn mine off too. So thank you very much. It's off now. South A Street from 10th to 23rd Streets, that's very different. That's a street that works. It's a street about jobs. And it should continue to be a street that works and a street about jobs. But I do believe that there's a possibility of mixing those jobs a little more finely so that you could have some new uses like craft industries, even a few commercial uses that would fit just fine there. And given their proximity to downtown, would actually be a great thing to attract there over a period of time to fit with the existing industrial uses that largely dominate that side of that street now. Next segment, what we call the Mid Springfield Business Corridor, that's 23rd to Bob Straub Parkway. I think the keynote here is affordability. And what I mean by that is I think everyone recognizes that it's long, it's kind of hard to get your head around, it's sort of big. But it really is important that you provide an affordable place to start and run a business. And I think that's a competitive advantage you have. I think it's an advantage you want to keep. And I think it's the expectation that most people have that it will remain a good, affordable place to have a flexible office space, a small commercial business, a medium-sized commercial business, so any kind of new business. That doesn't mean, but there's a kind of an affordability that should remain intact for people to get started there. And obviously, transportation and pedestrian safety were huge issues here. A lot of people were worried about crossing seeing Main Street as kind of a rift between neighborhoods, when in fact it is supposed to be the glue that holds the neighborhoods together. That came up a lot in terms of public input about this. So, just making it more attractive. I mean, build on the businesses you've got, make it a little more attractive, fill it in with a little bit finer and richer mix of other businesses and employment opportunities. The last segment that we talked about is out in the Thurston District. I mean, that's actually working pretty well today, I think. I think what most people would like to see is that it simply remain the Thurston neighborhood, that it remain a place where I have housing choices for a mix of incomes, a mix of family sizes. It provides that. I have some sort of larger regional commercial uses there, but I also have a sufficient neighborhood services that I can go to get my neighborhood services there. I think people would like to do it a little more comfortably, a little more safely in some cases, and in just a little bit more attractive environment. But if you had any place in this corridor, I think that kind of begins to measure up to this sort of buzzword that you hear these days about complete neighborhoods, Thurston's pretty close to one. It really is. So there's a lot that's working there. Not suggesting you change much, but just make it better at what it's already doing well, for the most part. So, moving on, and that's the kind of the neighborhood serving, keeping it walkable, all those things I just talked about, the housing choices, safety. Last two maps I want to show you quickly, and then we'll have a discussion, is the overall transportation framework. We had a lot more maps on this and go into much more detail, but this overall thing, and that's really what we heard. We want safer routes to school. We want more transportation choices. Slow down the cars. We heard that so many times. And so really we have those nodal areas, those activity nodes that we identified. They're really important in how they connect to important places in the neighborhoods. They really are fastening points for neighborhoods. And then just the idea that we have good bus service and we can look at eventually slowing down cars, making it more attractive, improving the appearance of the corridor. All of those things will just kind of begin to create that human scale and something more like a place I want to be in rather than something I just drive through to get somewhere else. Is kind of, I think, a key takeaway from that. Land use framework, last map, those are your three segments, the kind of mix of uses in the first segment, kind of mixed commercial residential along Main Street, mixed employment along South A, this intensification of business opportunities in some locations in that middle corridor, but maintaining that corridor as primarily a commercial corridor with hopefully a little more residential growth sort of backing it up, because that's going to be good for business, it's going to be good for transit, ultimately good for the neighborhoods. And then the sort of last corridor we talked about is the sort of just keep it a good residential neighborhood, but do a few things to make it look better, be a little safer. And then we sort of ended up with a couple of other things. We made some general recommendations for some zoning that they will take up later and consider some options to help realize this vision through zoning changes. And then we have another large document that's a very detailed implementation strategy that's a separate document. It's referenced in here, and some of the priority items that are listed in this report are taken out of that, but there's a much larger set of implementing strategies. So the vision, the implementation strategies, and the community outreach process were really the big products of this, but the really big products are what happens next, and particularly what happens in the next 5 years. That's the real product of this. So that's kind of our slideshow. Thank you for your attention, and I guess we'll have a discussion now.
I forgot to show my prop. So this is our 1988. This is our existing refinement plan. It's a one-pager. Pass that around. Commissioner Rowe, you may have been part of that.
I wasn't part of this.
No?
So I just a question. You know, as you looked at this corridor, I know that you stayed. What was, how far off the center line of the street did you look?
One parcel on each side was the extent of our study area, pretty narrow.
And, you know, but you also have identified parks and schools that are off that corridor. There's an area downtown here that I think I don't want us to overlook. That is, I think has huge potential. We've got on the other side of the railroad tracks, we've got the mill race path, we've got the mill you know, those old mill buildings there. And, you know, you've been to Bend, and what they've done with that mill district over there?
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes.
I mean, and this has, that has, with that mill path eventually connecting to the Middle Fork and Doris Ranch and a lot of other things that are off the corridor, that could be a real magnet for that downtown area, too. So, you know, I don't know if you can at least commemorate that there's the mill race path goes through that space. There'd be nice, something nice to do. It's a linear park.
Mm-hmm.
It should somehow be identified and commemorated.
We can certainly do that. Yes.
Does that make sense? I mean, I just don't want that to be overlooked,
because
that is going to be a huge draw in the future, I think.
What has been the holdup, you might say, in that mill area? I mean, right off of Main Street there, this is maybe getting out of our scope tonight, but it just seems like it's been sitting there. I don't go there very much anymore. Just, you know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about 28th in that area,
right off of downtown?
Booth Kelly,
that whole big area over there, seems like it's just such a big open area, and it's just hasn't done anything. It's just getting the right person in. I mean,
it's all leased. It's all leased right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's still positive cash flow right now. But we are having discussion. It came up in budget committee that we've been asked to take a look at. You know, maybe the status quo isn't enough. We might need to start thinking about something else. So conversations are happening already about it. But it is all leased. Gunderson is the main major tenant that's in the Sawtooth building. They build refurbished rail cars. And then we have, everything's leased out.
You can put them all in there. Do you remember those days?
There was a mall there.
Shopping center.
The Big M Shopping Center.
Big M.
Yeah. 30 years ago, 35.
So I'm sure the Planning Commission will have future discussions about Booth Kelly.
No,
that's fine.
Other questions or comments? Well, I think you guys have done an incredible job. It's very, very difficult to get out and engage the public like this. And one of the questions that I have asked a couple of times is, you know, we still see the signs up and down Main Street, and there are still some folks out there that have some real concerns about transit. Although it's my understanding that those folks have been at some level involved in some of the discussions that have been going on. Is that true?
Well, everyone has been invited to participate in the vision plan process. I mean, I sent a postcard to every single business owner and property owner, and then we had advertisements out there. We had street corner outreach. We had consultant team walking up and down the corridor talking to people in the businesses. So we did, I think, make the best attempt ever at City of Springfield at doing outreach.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that every single person has been involved, but it means they were contacted and invited to participate.
I don't know where they're coming out of. I think it might be that Eugene group that was against there. But over here, there's nothing to be against yet.
Right.
There is no plan.
Right.
They're making noise, but noise for what?
A lot of businesses have already been contacted by that group, but the other thing I was curious, when you sent out the postcards, did you use create a zone of the, or it's maybe easier to ask if you just sent out postcards to Main Street addresses as opposed to within two properties of Main Street?
We just sent to the strip.
Right.
Yeah, for this effort.
Okay, I mean, there's like, especially, you know, looking out at some of these maps, there's communities or neighborhoods that have got those difficulties of coming in and out because they're not on Main Street. And so you have all those different streets that are going into those neighbors or into those housing areas that would probably have a lot of vested interest in this.
Mm-hmm. that is a very worthwhile and larger study.
Right.
You know, neighborhood by neighborhood, which is not within the parameters of this particular project, but I certainly would support it personally.
As it progresses, I would certainly
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
At least the property owners that, for example, you have a property owner that, that has the south side of the property or north side of the property that is along Main Street, but the property faces the side street. And so you have a direct impact. They are on Main Street, but they have an address of a side street.
Go ahead. No.
Has there been any more discussion on getting truck traffic off of Main Street from 21st to before you go to the bridge, just to have a two-way and a two-way?
That'd be so nice.
But I don't know how much it would that still be a part of the vision? I mean, that we're talking the Main Street and South A.
I know what you're talking about. I'm aware of some of the history of that public conversation here. Let me put it that way, and it wasn't anything that we tried to reinitiate or have anyone make decisions or weigh in about. As part of this project, it was just kind of neutral on that aspect. Does it outside of the scope of work of a particular project, does it matter a great deal? I would say yeah, it's a big question. Matters a great deal. What you decide to do about that.
Let's go with Nick and then Nick.
Well, I was just kind of curious, but it makes sense because it seems like to me, you know, positive things are coming from the west and from the east, and they're eventually hopefully going to fill in that middle section, which is, you know, the mid Springfield section. Would it make sense to have like a focus effort maybe in the heart of that area and the concept that maybe they'll start going the opposite, you know?
It would. I mean, I guess the two recommendations that we've made in our plan and that I mentioned them last night to City Council, and I'll just sort of repeat them for you tonight too, is first of all, target your investments because you've got a big corridor and you know, and I don't mean this in any bad way, but you don't have the money to just throw it all up and down 7 miles. Nobody does.
Sure.
So you need to target your investments, look for the places you can find partnerships with other agencies who also have money, which would be, for instance, LTD, should they get some FTA funding to do some kind of enhanced transit service. They're going to bring some dollars. They can be spent on certain kinds of infrastructure. They're going to be targeted to certain areas. So if you take those nodal areas that we identified and target your investments there for a bunch of reasons, we think those are good places to start and then sort of grow out from each of those. That's part one. And then part two that I would say is, and again, this came up last night. You were there. You heard the discussion. The more you can do, even though it was not in our scope, we did make some recommendations about doing this. The more you can engage the neighborhoods in any number of future studies, from zoning to walkability assessments, or a variety of ways of engaging them, and we made some suggestions about how to do that. The more you can engage those distinct neighborhoods and make them feel a greater sense of ownership of Main Street, that portion of Main Street belonging to their neighborhood, that's a huge victory, I think, personally. So if you did those two things in terms of where do I drop the stone in the water and have the most ripples go out? That's what I would suggest. That's where you drop your stone and see what kind of ripples go out from there.
Joe?
You know, I'm just going to add on to the traffic downtown. There was a study that was done completed about 3 years ago, somewhere on there, and the downtown traffic and the idea of two-way traffic on South A and Main Street, west of 21st to the bridge, and even the roundabout plan has kind of got that thought process in. And you know, you were talking about one of those primary statements earlier says, you know, you don't know, so never say never.
Right.
And here 3 years ago, we're listening to a different consultant saying, no, you know, this is just not going to work. There's no way that we can do two-way traffic on that street. And I personally not willing to accept the no way we can't do the two-way traffic on South A, because I think all of downtown would prosper tremendously and be safer, be more accommodating. I think I know you're talking about dropping a pebble in a pond, but without a very strong downtown core, I don't know how many rocks you could throw in a pond and create enough ripple. without having a destination point. And you already have a destination area that's built and wouldn't take a whole lot of investment, I don't think. But anyway, so I'm just throwing that out there. If you have people that are out there, the consultants that have already said, I don't know if that's going to work or not, and I don't know if I like to accept that.
Yeah. And don't. Without wading in any deeper than that, I would say then don't.
But I mean, you hear all the interest, people sit there and say, gosh, this would be great, and then you hear, so.
It all comes down to what criteria were you measuring whether that's a good idea or not a good idea.
Right.
Well, you change the criteria, you'll come to a different outcome. Right. That's as deep as I'll wade into that controversy.
So I guess I concur with what you're saying, sky's the limit on it.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, from a visioning standpoint, I think this makes a huge amount of sense. Having those identified spots down the corridor that you can look to develop and push out and bring those communities into those areas. I think that's the biggest bang for your biggest impact. Thinking longer term, kind of like what I'm hearing, one of my main issues and concerns, I know you identified through the process and got feedback from a lot of folks about transit, yes, but also multimodal transportation. I mean, you know, it's really tough even on a bike lane, you know, a dedicated bike lane, to feel safe traveling up and down that street when traffic is moving at 40 miles an hour. And so, you know, I think there are some off-main opportunities that, and I know that's outside of the scope of this conversation, but we need to, as a community, you know, the connectors from the west side to the east side, you know, there are now a few, but you have to go way out to get through those areas. And so as we develop and build out, I think it's critically important that those folks that are in those small clusters and neighborhoods are able to get to the other areas up and down Main Street safely, and without having to load the family up in a car.
Yeah.
And I think that adds to the livability factor that you were talking about. So I know, again, I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think we can never lose sight of that. That's a critical part of making that Main Street corridor a livable, warm space. You know, as we develop out across the bridge, headed the other direction, I think that's going to be a real model for the types of things that we kind of wish we could do on this side of the world.
That did actually come up, and in fact, we indicated a few of those on that map there within the project area. It did come up, this need for, can I travel somehow, you know, off Main Street, east-west on my bike, if I'm not an experienced rider, I'm not comfortable with that volume of traffic and that speed differential, it's called, when I'm going 8-10 miles an hour and the car's going 45, I mean, that's a little scary. Do I have my kid out there? Would I, you know, I pull my child behind in my little bike trailer, and that's, you know, all those kinds of things come up. So it did come up, and, you know, we did make some recommendations. Actually, your transportation system plan already has one parallel route in it. We suggested another one might be possible to add to it, to at least consider it. The problem you have is your street pattern doesn't really, especially in that middle section, doesn't support that very well because the streets themselves aren't there. So you have a challenge in terms of, if you just had this kind of perfect grid all the way across, that would be really simple to say, I don't need to ride on Main Street. You could stripe them all as bike boulevard, a couple of bike boulevards, and call it good. But you have a challenge, you know, just with your street pattern. But it did come up as important. People recognize it. They're very much, we're looking for other solutions. Like, I would love to ride my bike more. I support it's a good thing to do. I mean, we need to get more used to walking and biking, but it's scary out there. Main Street's a little bit of a fearful place, and so reducing that fear of Main Street, that's one of the ways to do it.
And we are showing those potential bike culverts on this map. They're in dotted line. You can
see. So there's a couple on there, and it did come up.
Daisy Street.
It's not going to be that long until the connector from on 32nd Street goes through and connects to the Mill Race Path and to the Middle Fork. And that's going to help a lot because the downtown folks could go up over the hill and have a nice ride down the river and come out at 32nd Street and be, you know, or go on out to Clearwater Park or whatever. But it's all off of Main, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be beautiful, but it'd be nice. You know, and the Hall Road is to the east as well. And there's some other off Main, east-west connector roads that certainly would work. But it just needs to be, we need to take that into consideration as well. So, Tim, you've been pretty quiet. I can see you.
Well, I know another option, and I think I gave you a map one time out of transportation of bicycle route that goes along 105/126 as well,
mm-hmm.
but
yep.
there's a lot of uncertainty about where it's actually going to, whether it's going to be on the north side or the south side.
Exactly. Yeah. We're actually, Lima Lane is, you know, the Oxbow property and that potential connector, but that's a ways down the road as well. Good. Any other questions?
Just wanted to mention that we did outreach. We identified 11 opportunity sites as part of the vision plan process. They're in your packet. They're in the vision plan. And we did outreach. We sent letters to the property owners of all of those. And today we had meetings with two property owners on Main Street and one phone meeting that are potentially good development prospects in the middle segment. So that was pretty encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And they're all on that map noted, and then they're described in much greater detail in the different chapters of the report. But yeah.
You don't want to see some.
No.
So,
Texas
or
Saxon?
No, that wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do you have any staunch opposition to any of the what's come out of the visioning process so far?
No.
Good.
We haven't. I mean, there's been diverse opinions expressed.
Absolutely.
Don't get us wrong,
yeah.
And they are captured in here.
Good.
And the public involvement will be included as an appendix to the plan, the complete summary of the public involvement. So,
excellent.
When we look at this again to do planning and zoning updates, we'll have all that as background information. And we have the existing conditions report as well. So we've done a lot of work.
Obviously. One of the issues that we've run into as a planning commission a time or two during my time on the commission is the public notification process, you know, and I just want to make absolutely sure that, you know, we didn't miss some folks who should have been involved in the process and show up late in the game saying, wait a minute, I didn't know anything about this, you know, so.
That's why I was talking about this. Properties, because
mm-hmm.
those would be the ones that will say something.
Yeah. So, okay. Other questions? All right.
Great.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so very much. Very,
very,
very nice
job.
Summarizing that is a huge amount of work. And anytime you reach out to the public and have that level of involvement to put a plan together, it's a real art, and you've done a wonderful job.
Great.
So,
well, you'll be having a public hearing on this in
January.
So we'll see you after the first of the year. We'll be doing an open house, I think, the day of the hearing.
Yeah, it is. Same.
So we'll be doing the usual
like
newspaper notice for the hearing and all of that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
a lot.
All right. Well, that's the only item we have on the agenda tonight. So... we stand adjourned.
Okay.